Hello, everyone. Welcome to Tuesday Night Office Hours. We will get started here in just a second. So I hope everyone had a good Tuesday. I sure did. We did a couple podcasts today, which is always fun. And got a lot of work done. Just been a good day. Okay, so here's how we roll, y'all. If you would like to be coached tonight, all you have to do is raise your hand and I will call on you. I'll bring you up on screen and we'll talk and we'll coach. If you have a question for me, you can put it in the Q&A. If you want to talk amongst yourselves, use the chat, but make sure you're talking to all panelists and attendees. Otherwise, I will be the only one to see your post. And I don't check the chat very often. So let's get started. I have one hand raised, so there's lots of availability tonight, y'all. Amanda, you are first. Get started. Hi.
Hi.
Oh, yay. I can hear you. I can see you. It's going to be a good night. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. What's up?
Well, I'm struggling with something and it seems like it should be something simple, but I'm still struggling. Okay. I have a persistent cough that tends to be, gets way worse with heartburn. And I know that one of the causes of my heartburn is drinking a lot of coffee.
Okay.
I'm nervous. Can you tell? I drink a decent amount of coffee. I've cut back a lot. So I'm down to like 2 cups a day, but I know that for my health, I should probably cut it out completely because I would feel better. Mm-hmm. But I'm struggling with it. It's like, I don't even know how to explain it. It's one of those things where I have all of these emotions tied to my coffee. It's like my morning coffee is part of my routine. I've been drinking coffee since I was a teenager. It's something I look forward to. It's like a warm, restful way to start the day. I've tried switching to tea and I switched to tea in the afternoons and that seems to work really well.
So why did that work well?
I think because sleep is really important to me. And so I was able to logic out that both I needed the tea in the afternoon meant that coffee wouldn't impact my sleep, but also having the tea in the afternoon meant that my heartburn I wouldn't have the heartburn at bedtime, or it would be less likely to exist at bedtime. So the last thing you want to do is cough violently in the evening because then you can't fall asleep.
Right.
It's uncomfortable, right? And I don't want to be a violent cougher any time of the day. And it's not an obvious cause and effect.
So I think it's really interesting that it was so easy to sub out the coffee in the afternoon because you had really great reasons, your sleep, your cough, your heartburn, but you don't have great reasons to sub it out in the morning.
I think the benefits feel like they're still outweighing the benefit of the coffee is still outweighing the benefit of not having.
Tell me about the benefits of the coffee.
I look forward to it.
Okay.
I think I don't want to compare it to like a smoker, but it is. It's I love the smell of the coffee maker going off in the morning and there's something comforting about having my coffee while I'm like prepping the kids and getting to work and sitting in traffic. It's like a coping mechanism in some ways.
Coping mechanism. Okay. So what are the drawbacks to having coffee in the morning?
I'm more likely to have heartburn throughout the day and more likely to have violent coughing.
So the benefits, you're telling me the benefits of the smell. Well, you can still have the smell, right? The benefits. Well, you can. You can always have
I can't imagine what that would be like to have the smell and then not drink the coffee.
And then not have the coffee. Okay. So we'll just go with the benefits of the smell and the taste and the whatever comfort will be, whatever you have associated with the coffee are stronger for you than worrying about coughing your head off and heartburn.
That sounds true? So silly when you say it.
I mean, just repeating back to you what you told me.
No, and it's so funny because when you say it like that, I'm like, obviously that it doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ooh.
So I think this is where I was talking on, I don't know if you're in Queen's Club, but I was, and maybe it wasn't even Queen's Club. I was talking somewhere. I was coaching somewhere in the past week or so about choosing your discomfort, because that's essentially where you are. You know that the coffee does this for you, and this is why you love it. And you know that the coffee does this for you, and this is why you shouldn't have it. Right? So you're either going to be uncomfortable subbing out the coffee in the morning, or you're going to be uncomfortable coughing up a lung and having heartburn every day. Which discomfort are you going to choose? That's essentially what this is, right? So you know when you drink that coffee, you're going to cough, you're going to have heartburn, all the things. If you gave up the coffee, you would be uncomfortable for a few weeks. I mean, even if you subbed in a little bit of caffeinated tea, I don't know, is it the coffee itself or is the caffeine? Is it the caffeine?
I think it's the full package.
You think it's okay.
But I can reduce it. And I've done that before and I've gone without it. I don't like my mornings without my coffee.
And that's the problem. You don't like your mornings without the coffee. That's a thought. You know, that's a thought, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So tell me what's so bad about a morning without your coffee.
It sounds so silly, but it's like, so I think the caffeine is definitely a piece of it, right? Because I've been having coffee my whole life. So it's one of those things that you get used to having the extra caffeine in your body. But I think it's also, I have an amazing life, but my mornings feel hard right now because.
And coffee makes it all better.
It's so sad, but true. It's like it's for sure. It's like a coping thing for me. It's in the hustle and bustle of getting kids together
a new job. How is this different from having half a dozen donuts in the morning as you're getting the kids ready?
Coffee's acceptable.
Is it? Half a dozen donuts could be acceptable. It's really not any different, you know, because you have identified that coffee does not work well in your body. So continuing to put coffee in your body just because you love it, you know, is something you should probably really take a good look at. If it makes you cough and it gives you heartburn, it doesn't agree with you, right? Just like half a dozen donuts wouldn't agree with you for other reasons that they'd probably give you heartburn too, but they certainly, you know, contribute to a little weight gain.
Yes.
But it's, you've decided that the coffee is okay and the donuts aren't. But you've decided.
So true.
Yeah, you decide the coffee is okay just because it's your habit to have it. It's very, the concepts are so similar. You know, you have an urge for coffee in the morning. You answer the urge regardless of whether or not the consequences are there, right? You can have an urge for coffee in the morning. You can remind yourself, you know, today I'm only going to have one cup and sit through that urge. Or you have half a cup or whatever it is and you sit through that urge and eventually, on the other side of it, as you decrease the coffee, you begin to feel better. You are not having heartburn. You're not coughing. You're not doing these things.
It's so true.
And you can, you know, you can have your hot tea or your, you know, I guess, is it even caffeinated tea doesn't have as much caffeine as coffee, right?
I don't know. I'm looking at all of these responses as we're talking and people, apparently everyone really loves their coffee. So
look, I'm in the coffee club. Okay. But I can't promise you that if I knew coffee was doing something to my body, that I wouldn't give up the coffee. I mean, I believe I would but you know, I'm 6 years into this. I know that. Yeah. But here's the other thing. What would happen for me is coffee would become an exception food. Okay. It would not, just like cake. I love cake. Oh my gosh. I'm a cake girl. Always have been. But it's not something I drink and eat every morning, right? And I brought up the donuts because I was a donut girl too. It's not something I eat every morning. But if I plan one, then I'll have it as an exception. That, you know, maybe that could be an option for you with the coffee. There's a lot of people who are on your coffee. All right, y'all. She knows.
I will definitely take wow, these are great recommendations. I will definitely take some of these into account. Thank you guys.
But really, Julie, if coffee is not something that agrees with you, then it doesn't matter if it's low acid or decaf or, you know, Folgers or whatever anybody else is suggesting.
I wonder, for me, it feels out of control that I'm having coffee now, is what someone's saying. I feel out of, like, part of it feels like, A, I want the coffee, but B, I'm like, okay, if there's something that I know is hurting my body and I still feel the need to have it every day, that's a bigger issue. And so I was trying to like think, even coming up with a coffee replacement or making tea part of my morning routine, is that an acceptable?
Of course.
I know I get to decide whether it's acceptable, but is that
sure
just putting on a crutch?
I don't think so. I think what you're doing, all you're doing is having an urge. Okay. It's no different from me having an urge at 4 o'clock in the afternoon for a snack. And having to sit up here and think, am I really hungry? Do I really need a snack? When's dinner? How long can I wait? And having that whole conversation. That's the only thing it is. You're having an urge for coffee in the morning. It's your routine. It's what you like. You know, just like my 4 o'clock snack. So subbing out something else, there's nothing wrong with that. You could sub out hot water if you wanted to. That would be kind of gross, but you know.
I drink hot water all the time, actually.
Do you really? You like hot water?
Yeah, well, that part of the hot water and the tea calm my throat.
Oh.
So I drink the coffee, it makes me cough. And then I drink the hot water and the tea to calm it throughout the rest of the day. So it's, but at least I'm getting a ton of liquids.
You are getting a ton of liquids.
Right, there's definitely a silver lining there.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if I say your assignment is tomorrow you get 2 cups of hot tea, what happens to your brain? Is it going,
a little bit. I am like, well, does it have to be cold turkey? Can't I just have like half a cup of coffee?
So that's what you have to watch for. You can migrate over to hot tea or hot water or whatever at any pace you want to. I just want you to be aware that you're making a decision to choose the discomfort in this hand rather than the discomfort in this hand. And just, you know, I think getting real aware of the choice that you're making is really the first step. And what chatter goes on, what negotiation goes on in your brain about the coffee.
Okay.
Okay. I think that's just something real, real important. It would be just like me saying, I'm going to eat cake every day just because I love it. You'd probably look at me and go, are you sure, Kathy? Are you sure that, you know, are your knees going to like that? Is that going to support your weight loss goals? And yada, yada. And I'd be like, hey, but I love the cake. I got to have the cake. It settles me down when the kids are crazy in the morning. I'm going to have the cake. Right? Does the coffee really settle you down with the kids in the morning?
No.
What really settles you down?
The time I take to drink it and the feeling of having something hot in my hand and all my thoughts around coffee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What you're probably doing is buffering your kids with the coffee. If you think about it, the kids are running around crazy. You're like, just give me a minute. Coffee. Right? Putting some space between you and the kids with the coffee. Right?
Yes.
Yeah. I had kids. Have kids, they're grown and gone. I don't need coffee to put space between me and them anymore.
Oh.
Does that help?
It does.
I think you pretty well coached yourself on this one.
My accountability partner was like, you know what Kathy's going to say? And I was like, but I need her to say it to me.
What did she know Kathy was going to say?
She's like, she's going to tell you that if it doesn't feel good in your body, you're making that choice and you have to choose something different. If you want to feel better.
Yeah. That's basically it. You don't have to choose anything different unless you want to feel better. If you want to hang with this cough and sore throat and heartburn and everything, have at it.
But it's also, if it was physical discomfort that wasn't causing physical harm, I might feel differently. But I also know that there's a reason your body responds that way. And I want to be healthy.
Let me ask you this. If I told you, instead of the cough and the heartburn, as long as you drank coffee, you'd put on a pound a week. Would you quit it?
Oh yeah. Tomorrow. There would never be another cup of coffee.
Why? Why? Same thing.
Yes.
Right? So interesting, right? You're willing
to. It's a value system and it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Well, I think it's worth examining why you're okay with a cough and you're not okay with a pound a week. Maybe you're just, how long have you been coughing? Maybe you're used to the cough.
8 years.
Yeah. It might be really interesting after a couple of months of no coffee to see if you would take it back or if you're just loving not having the heartburn and the cough. Really interesting. Because you obviously, you've lost a bunch of weight, right? How much weight have you lost?
30 pounds.
Yeah. So that's a no. I'm not drinking coffee and putting weight back on.
No.
And how long did it take you to lose 30 pounds?
4 months, but I haven't lost any since June. Since the only time I coached with you.
So 4 months. So 4 months from now, you ask yourself, would I take that coffee back now? Or would you be, I bet your habit, the habit brain would be not even be thinking about the coffee anymore because you've got the hot water and the tea and the whatever else you're drinking in the morning. Or managing your kids. You're not as annoyed by your kids. Who knows? The world is your oyster. Does that help?
So much. Thank you, Kathy.
You're very welcome. Feel better.
You too. Well, don't feel better. Have a great day.
Thanks.
Bye.
See ya.
Thanks. Bye.
Molly, Liz, Sharon, Evelyn, and Molly. Let's see what y'all got. Well, hello, Molly Mates. How are you?
Good. I promised I would check in with you after vacation.
Yes, you did. I need
to. So here I am.
Let's do this.
Although I have.
I'm trying to stabilize you a little bit. I turned my Wi-Fi off and you are breaking up. I hope it's not me. Somebody give me a chat, something in the chat that says that I am not frozen. I'm not frozen, am I? Here I am back. Sorry. It was me.
Now you're not frozen.
I have a little connection issue that I'm going to have to get my husband to work on. Okay. So we're both back and neither one of us is frozen, right?
No.
Okay, good. All right.
So I did okay on vacation. Just so everyone else knows, I was in Nueva Vallarta, which is close to Puerto Vallarta in Mexico for 9 days with my family.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go outside. And so I wasn't sure what kind of food and all that stuff. But anyway, like I had made a protocol for what I was going to do. I mostly stuck to it. What was interesting though, and if me moving around is too annoying, Kathy, I can just turn off my, or you can turn off my video. What was more interesting was my thoughts about how I looked. So I kept a log about sort of what I was thinking about, what it was, some of the things I was saying to myself, and planning on doing models on those. And I started working some on it yesterday because it occurred to me how much work I have done over the last few years with my own mindset around my body and body image. And I was like, well, no wonder I would get depressed a lot. My God, if you're saying like just some of the things I was saying to myself on vacation all the time, which I don't anymore. So it was kind of interesting that that was up. But it didn't super steer me off course food-wise. I did gain, but then I like immediately took it off. It was really interesting. So we got back last Friday. Mm-hmm. And I think it must have been from flying and stuff like that. But the scale said I was up 4 pounds. The next day I was down 2, and the next day down 2. And now I'm like negative minus 1 from where I was the week before. So I feel good about that. I definitely feel like I did some emotional eating on vacation because it was a little bit stressful with all the family. Mm-hmm. So my plan is to kind of look at all that because I haven't had that in a while. So that was interesting that it came back up again. I should have anticipated that and I didn't.
You should have anticipated the stress with the family?
I feel like I should have maybe anticipated wanting to do some emotional eating or emotional drinking.
Why would you anticipate wanting to do emotional eating and drinking?
Because I think the situation was like ripe for that because it was like 9 family members, my partner's, you know, family, 4 kids, super just kind of hectic schedule. So I feel like I could have maybe served myself a little better to have maybe planned what I would have done in those instances a little bit better than I did, just thinking like, okay, here's my protocol, but having like a more of a thought protocol
on vacation. So more of a here's how I handle family drama protocol kind of, yes, a process that you would go through. Yeah, that might have helped if you had, yeah, anticipated there would be family drama. But you know, that
right,
family drama is kind of a thought, right?
Yeah, for sure. Because I think I think the first or the second night we were there, everybody wanted to go out to dinner and I just wanted to stay back and relax. And so, mm-hmm, that's exactly what I did. Everyone went, mm-hmm, to dinner and, mm-hmm, I ordered some dinner and a glass of wine and went in the pool by myself on, mm-hmm, my little like veranda. And that was exactly what I needed.
Okay.
And I think now looking back on it, I probably should have taken some more alone time for myself because that kind of helped calibrate me. And I think I kind of got myself, there were just a couple of times at dinner where I definitely ate past my 2 and it felt for sure like I just was eating because I was feeling stressed or I was feeling, you know, and thinking like, I don't really want to be at dinner right now. Like I would rather like be back in our room or, mm-hmm, you know, whatever.
Okay. So you have assessed then and looked at your takeaways. And you've come, mm-hmm, up with, next time you guys all go vacationing together, you've come up with some more strategies, right?
For sure. Yeah. And also doing some more work on some of the thoughts that were coming up that were so old, you know, that I just have not experienced in a long time. So I think there was just still work for me to do there.
It's interesting that you had old thoughts come up. It's interesting that you had old thoughts come up that you hadn't been thinking in a while. Wonder why those popped in.
Yeah, it was interesting. The only thing I could think was that it was really, you know, the whole situation was really unfamiliar. And this is the first time we were a whole bunch of us, you know, and Bergen's family were all on vacation together. And there were like a lot of different logistical issues. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering if like, maybe that was like my way of controlling, or like, I don't know, you know, going back to those
because they were thoughts familiar. About uncertainty and uncertainty about yourself and things like that. Those kind of thoughts.
No, it wasn't like that. It was more like really Scarlett, come here. It was really more, how I was feeling about my body. So it wasn't even about the situation. Like I wasn't even processing.
Gotcha.
The thoughts about the situation. I was doing whatever the next right thing was in the situation, or just being present, or, you know, not just doing. But my head was having thoughts about, oh my gosh, I'm so uncomfortable in these clothes.
Yeah. You were self-conscious.
Super, 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 super self-conscious. Yeah.
Were you comparing to Bergen? Yeah. So they really weren't old thoughts. They were just manifestations of what you've been dealing with for a little bit now.
Yeah. No, you're totally right. Yeah. I wasn't a lot, but I do remember that at one point saying to her, I wish we were both skinny together on this trip.
Yeah.
Like that's how I felt, you know, because it was kind of a physical trip. And I know I would have felt more comfortable doing those physical things if I had been smaller. But at the same time,
go ahead.
I didn't die and I survived and I was fine.
Right. So here's what you do. Time. You say, okay, a year from now, Bergen, we're going back and I will have lost my weight. And it's going to be amazing. And that becomes your compelling reason. You know what it's like to go and be a little uncertain, be a little self-conscious, be in some compare. I hope I'm not frozen again. I hope it's Molly. Okay.
No, you're fine.
Okay, good. Be in some compare.
Yeah.
And, you know, assess your way through it. And now, and that then creates the motivation for you to say, you know what? It's not the life I want anymore. How do I need to get to this? How do I need to get to this next level?
It definitely reinforced, you know, my commitment as soon as I got. I mean, I was still drinking all my water, and Bergen and I split almost every single entree that we had. And a lot of times we weren't eating until 11. Like, but yeah, we're going to London next year is our plan. And I was like, I will not, no way. Yeah, so it's like very much like reinforced my commitment. So as soon as we left, like that was it. Like I'm back, you know, to my protocol and still keeping refining it and what's working for me. And
so this is a really great example. This is for everyone who's listening. This is a really great example of how you assess a vacation, decide what worked for you, and use this as a springboard for the next level of your weight loss. Molly, I don't see Molly beating herself up here at all, right? Oh, man, I hope you're not beating yourself up, right?
No, right. I really am not. Like,
okay.
I was more, it was interesting and I noted it and I journaled about it and I journaled like 3 pages worth yesterday when I had time. And you know, my thought at the end of the journaling was this trip really served you well. Like, because in many ways, as Kathy knows, my weight loss has been, my thinking is that it's slow and this kicked it up. Like I literally lost, I mean, it's water and other things, but like 5.8 pounds in 4 days, which is ridiculous. You know, it's crazy. And I think it kind of kicked me into this next level,
right?
You know, so.
And that's what I love about this call is that it did springboard you into, all right, I'm back home. I'm back on my protocol. In fact, I'm going to look for some more tweaks because I've got this next level that I want to reach before I go to London next year. And man, I'd write every day on the top of your plan. I'd write whatever your goal weight is. Let's say it's 150 pounds by London, or 180 pounds by London.
I love that. That makes me happy.
I would totally do that. Look at you smile when you think about that.
I know.
Because I know you can do that. Because you're so dialed in now and looking for more areas to trim that I have no doubt you'll do it.
And it was, oh my gosh, it was so different for me this vacation than others, because literally like I would get bread baskets, you know, like when I got room service myself, they brought me an entire bread basket, entire loaf of bread that smelled wonderful. Mm-hmm. And we probably had, I mean, every single meal we had a bread basket, and I never had any.
Yeah.
And I would just say to Brigham, like, I just want to smell it.
Yeah.
I mean, plus the gluten. Uh-huh. But, and she would taste it and be like, you're not missing anything. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not as good as it looks, you know, or whatever.
Yeah. I do that crazy thing too. I'm like, I just want to smell it. It smells amazing. It doesn't go in this body, and that's okay. But I sure do love the smell. Kind of like the coffee. Coffee, Amanda.
Yeah. I feel for Amanda. I was telling Amanda in the comments, I was like, I switched to espresso and that really helped. But yeah.
Well, good work, my friend. Yeah. Good work. Good assessment.
I promised you I would check in, so I wanna...
I'm glad you did. Glad you did. It's good to talk to you.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. All right. Sharon, then Liz.
Oh, I don't see my little face down. Oh, here, wait a minute. There we go.
Oh, I think you're coming. Are you coming?
Yeah, there we go.
Oh, there you are.
Yeah.
Hey.
Hi. I'm calling because just to get obviously some advice and coaching, right? Mm-hmm. That's what we all call. But I've noticed this pattern that I lose weight during the week. You know, I have a good weigh-in, you know, relatively speaking, but then over the weekend I gain it back. And a lot of that comes from like my boyfriend and I are very spontaneous on the weekend and just kind of randomly do things. And he pays usually when we go out to eat, and he wants to go places that are more affordable if we're going to go out to eat a couple times, you know, on the weekend. And so then I end up eating things like nachos and dollar burritos from Taco Bell or something like that. And the thing that was interesting is like, cause I usually pay for the groceries in the house, you know? Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, maybe I should just switch with him. It's like, you know, cause I told him yesterday, I was pretty proud of myself. I said, you know, I've noticed this pattern and I want us to work towards it not being the case anymore. Which was pretty, assertive for me, you know? Mm-hmm. And, so I kind of solved my problem in a way before I called you, but does that sound like a smart thing to do? Just like, well, since, you know,
I want to know why you're eating dollar burritos and nachos. How's
that going to change? Likes cheap food.
If you start paying?
I would probably take us somewhere that we could get a healthy choice, like a salad or something.
And you can't ask him
to get a salad.
You can't ask him to take you somewhere that's a healthy choice.
Well, the thing is, and he's right in a way, but I said that to him yesterday and he said, well, eating out is always bad. No matter what, they're eating out is bad for you. And it's like, no, there are options that are healthier than dollar burritos from Taco Bell. And yeah. So, I mean, there are a lot of places. I mean, you know, Salada, Panera, you know, you know, Joey's. You know what I mean? There are a lot of places where you can get like fruit and, I mean, just a meat and vegetable or something, you know? So you think it'd be better to be assertive and say, listen, you know, and he wants to lose weight, right? So if I said, listen, we both want to lose weight, let's make the decision to make healthier choices when we go out to eat so we can both lose weight, you know?
Yeah. I don't know that swapping who pays is actually going to solve the problem. If you'd also have to swap where you go and what you choose to eat, right? If you're heading, there's not going to be a whole lot good at Taco Bell. You're right. But that doesn't mean you can't stop at Taco Bell for him and Panera for you, right? Or
that's a good idea.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think the solve here is that you advocate for what you want to eat and not okay. just say, well, he's decided Taco Bell, so I have to find something here and the cheap thing's the dollar burrito, and then you gain weight.
Right.
The other right. thing you need to focus on is the spontaneity. Why do you have to be spontaneous on the weekend?
Well, usually we kind of are random. Do you know what I mean? We get up on Saturday and it's like, well, then maybe let's go to a movie, and then, oh, let's go to the mall, and then let's do this. You know what I mean? Like, it's just sort of like this weekend we're going to a football game on Friday night, and Saturday we're going to the races. You know what I mean? Like,
so you know, there's a bit of time so you can plan.
Well, and he always talks about this thing called the cooler plan. And I'm like, okay, let's do that. Let's take stuff with us, you know, so that we can eat it in the car. The problem is, of course, we live in Houston, so like, you have to be careful what you put in a cooler in Houston, you know, in the car. But yeah, that's a good, I mean, I'd like to do that. You know, I feel like I've surrendered my like right to choose to him.
You have not. No, don't tell yourself that. You have not surrendered your right to choose to him. You have given up. You know, you have said, I'm going to let you choose and I'm going to do whatever you say. This, you have chosen not to choose. You haven't surrendered anything to him. You know, this is where we get into, you have to own your decisions. Okay? And you have to own the fact that you're not planning on the weekends. The weekends, if you think about it, if there's 21 meals in the week from Friday night to Sunday night, there's 7 meals. That's a third of your week.
Right.
You've got to rein those in if you want to lose weight permanently. And the way to do that is to plan better, to use your cooler, to advocate for yourself and what you want to eat, to let him have what he wants and ask for what you want. You know, that's what it comes down to. It's not
crazy. That sounds like a good idea.
Yeah.
I like the idea of combining the cooler and going two places. I like that idea of going to two places, you know?
I can tell you, my husband and I, every day on the weekends, plan ahead of time what we're going to eat that day. You know, we're kind of dorks that way anyway, but we pretty much say, so what are we doing today? And you already know you're doing a football game and you're doing a race. You know, what's there that you want to eat and what do you want to put in your cooler? You can go ahead and make that plan, right? And it doesn't have to be, today's Tuesday and you know this about the weekend.
Right.
You can have that conversation Friday night for Saturday and get everything together and go ahead and set yourself up for success rather than being reactionary to the dollar burrito and the whatever else. And then you might lose weight on the weekend.
That sounds good.
Wouldn't that be awesome, right?
Yes, that would be awesome.
Yeah. I also knew, just for anybody who's listening who has weekend issues, I knew a girl once, actually she's still a tribe member, who used to do her food prep on Sunday for Monday through Thursday, and then she would do another food prep on Thursday for the weekends. And her weekend protocol might have been a little bit different, but she still ate 2 to 2. You know, a lot of times the weekends where our exception meals are. But you still eat.
Right.
And you still plan. There's no randomness, no surrendering your choices. There's none of that.
Is only one exception meal a week is like the standard, right?
That's pretty much the standard if you want to lose weight.
Okay.
You can have more, but you know, you'll have to just assess whether or not you're maintaining or whether or not you're losing. You know, it's kind of like that give and take, choose your discomfort. You want to, you know.
Right.
You want to maintain and have more exception meals, or do you want to have one and, you know, lose a little bit of weight? Does that make sense?
Definitely want to lose the weight. So
that's the goal. That's why we're here, right?
Right, exactly.
All right.
Okay. Well, thank you.
You're very welcome. See ya.
See ya.
All right, Liz. And Liz is the only one with her hand up. So if anybody else wants to be coached, go ahead and raise your hand. Uh-oh. Liz, I just hit the wrong button. Would you raise your hand again, please? Raise your hand again for me, Liz. There you are. Sorry about that. All right, let's try this again. Hi.
Hi.
Hey.
Can you hear me?
Yep, I can.
Okay. I was in my car and I think it kept disconnecting with my car, so that was half the problem.
Okay. Well, we're together now.
Hi. So I was at camp last week, mm-hmm. and that was amazing. And
it was, wasn't it? We just did a podcast about it today.
Good. And I can't wait. And so what happened is that we were doing one of the worksheets, and I had one of those moments, you know how you guys talk about when you're journaling sometimes and thoughts come out that you don't really realize mm-hmm. are there. I'm going to start crying just thinking about it, because, and then this was one of the ones where we shared with the rest of the table, mm-hmm. and it kind of surprised me. And Tracy was our mentor, and she said, I think you should get coached this weekend. And I was like, I don't think I can get coached this weekend. I'll wait till I can talk to Kathy.
Okay.
I don't want to stand up in front of everybody. Anyways, so the thought that I had, it was the worry inventory. And I have it here. I've been like sitting here with it, like nervous. But my worry inventory, the very last line was, I don't think I'm good enough for Ricky or to be worthy of his love. And that was the one that was my top concern. And then I just changed it to, I don't think I'm worthy of love. And for why is this a problem? I said, because through my entire life, I felt like I was never good enough to be loved and only good enough for entertainment for the moment. And it was like, I've always kind of felt like I've had kind of low self-confidence and stuff a lot. And I don't know why. I have a great loving family. I really do. I brag about my family all the time. So then I was like, okay, well, I'll be determined to work through this. This is something that I should do. You know, some of the other girls brought up like the self-love course, which I haven't done. But then the Wednesday after we got back from camp, Ricky broke up with me. Mm-hmm. And I felt like that was like reaffirming my thought that I'm not worthy of love. Like, he doesn't love me. If I thought he loved me and I thought he was the one, and, you know, I guess to me, it's just like, I know intellectually I have this fabulous support system. I have great people in my life. I've met so many great people since joining the tribe, but I've been divorced for 7 years. I've barely dated. You know, I've dated, I've been with guys, but then when it comes to ever being serious, nobody ever wants to get serious. And so it makes me feel like I'm just not worthy. Like, nobody wants to take Liz home to mom. They just want to screw me and then have somebody else for their long-term thing. And I feel like it's always just been like that when it comes to men. Like, I don't understand what it is. You know, I'm pretty cool. Like, guys like to have me as a friend, you know, and I'm pretty confident in most of my life. And then it comes to this and I don't know what to do. And it's like, intellectually, I know the things, but like, my real feelings, I don't know what to do.
So intellectually, it's interesting. You say intellectually, you know the things. Tell me what you know intellectually.
Intellectually, I know that I am worthy of being loved, and I am loved by okay. a lot of people that matter. I know that I have my mom and my dad, my amazing daughter, my sister and her family. They're amazing. My best friends,
my awesome blossoms, shout out girls. I know that I'm loved in that way, but I feel like I want to be loved in the way that, I don't know, you love your husband, and the way I see Corinne loves her husband. And, you know, like, how do you just, how does that happen? Why does it not happen for me? Or why do I give off like this like vibe that says fuckable only or something? Like, not that I've even had sex in a long time now, but you know.
Okay. I'm sketching out some of the things you've said, because you have a really good intentional model working here.
Okay.
Did you hear your really good intentional thought that you actually, you actually believe? Did you hear it?
Yes. Yes.
What was it?
That I believe that I'm worthy of love.
I'm loved by the people that matter.
Yeah.
Okay. And you gave me a list of those people. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But you have a story around, in fact, you generalize this story around men. Okay. How long were you married?
We were together, I think, 7 years.
Okay. So there was obviously, at some point, there was obviously some love in that relationship, right?
Yeah, and then, but when I wanted to break up with him, I got pregnant, so we got married instead. It was kind of a mess. It was I've always said, oh, I'd never do that, but I did, so whatever. And then I got divorced.
Okay, well, I guess my whole point here is that self-worth is a feeling that you generate with a thought. And what you're doing is spending a lot of time looking at all the reasons you are not worthy of love. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, that's the direction you've got your brain going is unworthy. Okay. So if we put unworthy in the feelings line of your model, tell me, give me one good sentence that tells me why you feel unworthy.
Because nobody wants to date me.
Nobody wants to date me. And that's a thought. You know that's a thought, right?
Right, yeah.
You know that's not a fact. Intellectually and emotionally. Well, see, and that's the problem. That's the problem right there. Nobody wants to date me is a total thought. I can see it. I bet everybody on this call can see it. You can't see that because you've created all this evidence because when a guy broke up with you. Because
over and over again, though, not just last week. It's like every guy.
Okay. Okay. So you haven't found the one who does want to date you yet.
Right. I guess.
Right?
I guess.
And you're loved by the people that matter. I'm
right.
I'm trying to make you feel better here. I'm trying to show you that you have a thought that you've created a lot of evidence for.
Right.
Okay. How many of these relationships have you broken up with?
I mean, I guess because they're not usually just relationships, it's kind of hard to say. Sometimes it's just we stop talking or whatever.
But and sometimes,
at least a couple. I mean, at least a couple.
Yeah. Do you think those guys are going, oh my gosh, Liz broke up with me, nobody wants to date?
No, because it's so much easier for guys, right? They can always find women. They always do.
Another good thought. It's so much easier for guys. Girl.
Well, you know, my ex-husband, he was practically married before we were divorced. And I think that, you know, it was just, the ending was horrible. And I have that thought and feeling, I get it, but
it's a total thought.
I know. And I know
that. You create your own self-worth with your own thoughts. Okay. And it's not, you create self-worth not by judging how everyone else feels about you. You create it by how you feel about yourself. Okay, that's why it starts with self-worth. Okay?
Yeah.
Right? Just like self-confidence. Yeah. It's what you're generating within yourself. If you're telling yourself over and over again that nobody wants to be with me, then you're not nurturing your self-worth.
Right.
But if you're telling yourself, I'm a pretty darn good person. I'm funny. I have all these friends. I'm loved by the people who matter. Your daughter, your tribe sisters, your accountability group, your family. You know, that's how you start looking for self-worth. A guy may or may not come along, and that's okay. Right? You have to generate your own self-worth. A guy, Ricky, or anybody else is not going to create self-worth for you.
Right. Right. Okay. How do I make myself believe that now? So,
you practice.
Like, again, I can hear you and I know it.
You practice.
In this part of the brain, and you know, but it's the rest of the brain that doesn't.
Right. You've got the two parts talking to each other. Okay. You've got that. You've got the business up front part going, the people who love you are, you know, what was it? I'm loved by the people that matter. That's the logical part. That's the one you want to practice.
Right, exactly.
And you got this one back here going, oh, but Liz, Ricky left. Ricky, all these people, we should just have a donut. That's what it's saying back here. You know, that maybe we shouldn't be uncomfortable anymore. Maybe we shouldn't. Maybe we should just bury this and have a snack. Or have
a drink.
You know, whatever. Yeah. You know, because this part in the back here is always comfort seeking.
Right.
So it's gonna bury the thoughts. It's gonna say, well, maybe we shouldn't think about that. Maybe we should have something to eat. Where this part up here really wants to do the work for you.
Right.
And it really wants to be super logical, but it's gonna be a little bit slower and it's gonna be more conscious thinking. This part back here is the habit brain. So it's gonna throw up those thoughts that you normally, that are habitual thoughts, like nobody loves me. I can't get a guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's not the truth. It's not really the truth because you have people that love you. And over, you have dated. You just haven't found the right one yet.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But remember, the whole crux of this whole thing here is self-worth is generated by yourself.
By me.
Within you. Okay? It's created totally by you, for you to use and feel and exhibit. And if, you know, that's where the work is. It's not getting the guy. It's being good with who you are and loving yourself enough. Because when you project that into the world, people, guys, girls, kids, they're all attracted to people who have self-worth.
I think that's why that when you do start dating somebody, like everybody else starts noticing you. You know what I mean? Like,
maybe.
It's like all of a sudden, like people are looking at you and noticing because you're walking taller.
Maybe, but, maybe not. Yeah. But even when you're dating someone, and if the reason, if you're somebody who's lacking self-worth, they're drawing their validation from someone else. They're not creating it within themselves. They're not practicing the thoughts. Otherwise, you ever seen those girls that have like four or five guys trailing behind them going, pick me, right? Yeah. They're not dating anybody, but they're standing up straight and they've got the confidence because they know they're bringing it to the world.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. That's what you have to develop. The guy comes secondary. If you feel good about yourself, you may or may not need a guy. You may or may not want one. But if you're generating your own self-worth, then that becomes the next secondary decision.
I'm going to write that down.
So I have a, y'all can see the back part of my office here. I'm in a bedroom here and I have across the way from me are closet doors. And I have one of those great big post-it note pads, you know, the post-it note, like, I don't know, the great big ones, right, that you stick on the wall. And I have affirmations written on mine.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. And, you know, they say things like, I'm following my path. I'm trusted so I can trust myself. I just keep showing up and leveling up. I provide value. has those things that I want to see in front of me every day to practice mm-hmm. and remind myself. Those are my intentional thoughts for every single day.
So make it everywhere.
Yeah. Like, write them there. Every day. Put them somewhere where you'll see them every day. Some people put post-it notes on their mirror. Mm. You know, for those of us who want to create more self-confidence and self-worth, it just takes practice. It takes, you know, inner self-talk. It takes journaling about who we want to be and what we want to become and how we want to feel about ourselves. Okay?
Okay. And I have been better. One of the things, I think my biggest thing that I learned at camp was the model. Like I joined in April and I never really got the hang of it until last weekend or yeah. until camp weekend. So I've been doing that a lot more. Mm-hmm. And ironically, so it was a long distance relationship and he sent me an email to mm-hmm. do this. Mm-hmm. So I was on my iPad and I was actually journaling mm-hmm. when I saw the email pop up and I was like just about to go into the model when I got the email and I like stopped what I was doing and then like read the email and I hadn't done my plan yet. So I was able to put like a cheeseburger on my plan. So I at least got some comfort food. I was like, I only had half. I said, but I'm going to do this one day and then I'm going to pick myself up and move on. And I feel like for the most part I have, it's just, but I just keep having this feeling. And then I don't know. And I get what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. And it's not, practice.
It's not going to be a flip that switches overnight. It takes effort. It takes conscious effort and practice. But I'm going to tell you something. It is worth the practice. 100% worth the practice. Because your self-worth defines how you show up every day, in every place. If I was sitting back here going, I don't know if I'm going to be able to show up on that call tonight because I don't know if I'm a coach. I don't know if, you know, you would notice that. You might not have even raised your hand. If I didn't mm-hmm. come in here thinking, I can coach these people tonight. I can help them. Mm-hmm. Right? If I was back here going, I don't know why Corinne's hired me. I mean, how do you think I would show up? Right?
Yeah.
If I was indulging in that rather than reading my affirmations before I get on the call and, you know, talking to myself and telling myself, you know, this is the right thing. You know, it's just a conversation.
I like the idea of having the affirmations all over the place.
Yeah.
I think I might just go get a giant post-it board and just put them up all over the place.
Oh yeah. It works for me. I love it. Does that help?
Thank you. Yes, it does. It gives me, and I'm going to do the self-love course. I actually didn't even think of that until today, like right, like while I was waiting to get on the call. I don't know why it never occurred to me before this.
You have an accountability group, right? You said? Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you something super powerful. If you really want to level up and recharge, if mm-hmm. you work one of, you know, you get those 31 prompts, you work one a day, write it out, and you read it to your accountability group.
Okay.
There is something about saying it out loud and seeing yourself saying those things that is super, super powerful. Because when you're in Marco Polo, I guess I hope y'all Marco Polo, right?
Yeah.
When you're in Marco Polo, you're looking at yourself. You're not looking at anybody else. And when you say that
stuff, I know, it's so weird.
Yeah. When you say that stuff out loud to yourself, mm-hmm. it's pretty powerful. That's what I would suggest.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
I will do that. Thank you so much.
Okay. Take care.
Okay. Bye.
Megan, you're next. Then Amy.
No. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Why can't I see you? Oh, here it comes. There it is.
So here's something kind of funny about me. I'm totally blind. So we so my husband and I are both, well, he has a little bit of vision, but normally we don't turn our lights on in our house, which sounds kind of funny because, but we don't need them. And so I forget.
Oh, you know what? Both of my brothers are legally blind. One of my brothers was married to a girl for a time who was totally blind, and she did the same thing. She never turned her lights on.
Yeah. So like when my parents come to the house, they turn on all my lights. I'm like, y'all, you're going to put like a 20 in the box for your electric bill.
Good for you. Y'all can have the lights, but you better turn them off on your way out.
Like, if they just turn them on all over the house, I'm like, y'all. And but it's really funny. Okay.
So what can I help you with, Megan?
A couple of things, because I kind of identified with, I believe her name was Amanda, the one who was having the coffee.
Yep.
And it was giving her a problem.
Okay.
I have a problem with these protein bars that I absolutely love.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't had one in 8 days because the last time I had it for lunch because I was like, I've got to know if this is what's causing my gas. I mean, I was just having stomach, like,
yeah.
I felt bloated and I had gas.
And
it wasn't right away. It was like 5 or 6 hours, like when it was supposed to be dinner time. My stomach's like, and I'm just like, ow, this hurts.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got all my protein bars. They're all put away and I'm trying to figure out what to do with them. And that's not what I want coaching on, but I was just like, oh, I identify with this.
Well, let me give you a clue about protein bars, about a lot of bars, actually. Most of them, especially fiber bars and things like that, have an ingredient in them called chicory root. Okay. Chicory root. Mm-hmm. And it will light you up. So if your protein bars, it's almost like a protein additive. And somebody else said something about some kind of sweetener does the same thing. If it has
the sugar alcohols. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. It's going to light you up.
I don't
up.
Know what it
You're
is,
right.
But oh my gosh. Because I had one just for lunch. I was like, I'm just going to see if this, and I was like,
takes a couple of hours and you feel like you could like be jet propelled, right?
Yeah. I'm like, man, I've got enough gas to go to Denver and back and I live in Seattle. I mean, I'm like, golly,
from where?
Okay, but and so, I'm sorry. I'm just thinking about the previous call. I had the opposite problem. My husband had an emotional affair back in March, and I'm kind of putting this out there. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to get into everyone's business, but I'm just saying, like, I had the opposite problem. I realized I was depending on my husband for, and I had to learn to become my own person. And so I've started doing more things to make sure that I am my own person. And so I just identified with that too. And so what I'm trying to say is thank you for all these calls. They've been all very helpful and I've learned
a lot. You're welcome.
Okay. Now I want to get to me because I'm not trying to get into everyone else's business.
Okay.
So, this is going to sound I feel so embarrassed to say this. It's so silly. But I think it was Wednesday. Come on. It's my dog. She's got her face like, can I say hi too? Because like every time I do a Marco Polo, she wants to stick her face in the camera and say hi. So there you go. Anyway, yeah, she's coming. She's my guide dog. So for those of you who are coming to camp, you'll get to meet her next April and October. So
cool.
Yeah. So anyway, I believe it was Wednesday, it may have been Tuesday, but I set this goal that I wanted to lose 40 pounds by January 15th. Okay. I'm not exactly sure why I set January 15th because people were like, why did you set that date? I don't know. I really don't know, but that was the date that I picked. And I've set that goal because I want to be in Century Club by then because that's I've got 40 pounds or had at that time 40 pounds to go before I hit Century Club. And I was like, I want to hit Century Club in January.
Okay.
And so I am losing weight and I'm doing great with my plans. I'm doing, like, if I were to, and I've been doing this every day with my accountability groups, mm-hmm. I'm rating myself a 1 through 5 mm-hmm. On like my 4 basics. Mm-hmm. And for my hunger scale, I'm getting like a 4.5 every day. Cause sometimes I feel like I miss my -2.
Okay.
And I'm really hungry before I know it. And so, okay. But I mean, it's not a problem most of the time, unless mm-hmm. I start believing the thoughts in my brain that say, we got to eat because you got really hungry and we're super hungry, you know, and your brain just kind of does that.
Right.
And so anyway, I am getting to my point. I'm sorry, I'm rattling. I'm also right now doing Weight Watchers. I'm not counting points, but I'm just going to the meetings for just mm-hmm. some extra accountability. Mm-hmm. And so in between last Tuesday and this Tuesday, the scale showed a 6.2 pound loss.
Okay.
And I didn't know how accurate, I mean, not how accurate, but from the Friday before to last Friday, it was like a 4 pound loss. So okay. I was like, okay, I knew my number was going to be pretty big, but mm-hmm. I guess I'm just nervous about these numbers being so big. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you know, cause I'm just starting to ask myself, am I restricting too much? I'm having all these thoughts. Am I doing this not the healthy way? Cause I am monitoring, like, for example, I went to Subway and I got a 6-inch sandwich today. Mm-hmm. And like 2/3 of the way through my sandwich, I did the sigh, y'all.
Yeah.
And I was like, ooh, I'm done. And without much debate, I wrapped it up and I threw it away.
Okay. So let me ask you this. Did you start in September?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Started in September. And were you doing Weight Watchers beforehand?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And you were counting your points and doing all that then, right?
Yes, ma'am.
And so what were you losing, a pound or two a week probably?
Yes.
Okay. So you come in and you actually listen to your hunger scale rather than eat all your points.
Yes.
Right?
And for a few weeks. I've lost, since I stopped counting points and all. So in the groupies, I lost like 5 or 6 pounds, but I wasn't a groupie for very long. Mm-hmm. Like, cause I joined the groupies at the end of August. And so I stopped counting points September 3rd.
Okay.
And then from about that point on until now, I've lost like a total of like 18 pounds.
Okay.
Now
you're drinking all your water and you're getting all your sleep.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
All
yes,
right.
Ma'am.
So yes, here's ma'am. here's what's happening. Okay. It's probably going to slow down. All right. You probably have just, I don't want to say this, surprised your body with a little bit of a different type of protocol. And it's going, oh, this is nice. You know, if you're not hungry, you know, all the time, if right. you're eating to your right. +2 and you feel like you're right. following the plan exactly like it's written, I think right. you're doing just fine. I don't think you have to worry about losing weight too fast, because what will happen is you will stabilize. And over the okay. next couple of weeks, you'll probably start losing just a pound or two a week rather than 4 pounds or 6 pounds. I think your body has, this is what our body tends to do when we change things up. It happens to some people, when they change up their food protocol. You know, if they ate salads every day for 6 months and all of a sudden they eat chicken and broccoli, for instance, their body, you know, it kind of surprises their body into working a little bit harder. I think that's all that you've done, is you've backed off the amount of food that you're eating. Right?
Oh, definitely.
Because you don't need that much.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely, I have definitely backed off my food. I mean, I'm just really paying attention to what I'm eating. I'm trying to do more vegetables. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, because I'm not a snacker, but I love having snack-like things. Like, I'll have apples mm-hmm. and peanut butter for lunch. Mm-hmm. I mean, because I love apples and peanut butter. I was like, yeah, but I'm not really wanting a snack. I'm like, well, why not have it for a meal and see what happens? And I do that yeah. like twice a week.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong
like
with
it.
Any of that. Right. Nothing wrong with
I
any of
like
that.
It.
You will
just,
likely stabilize. You'll likely stabilize over the next couple of weeks. It would be my guess.
Okay.
You said you want to lose 40 more to get 100. How much do you want to lose in total?
Well, okay. Let's see. Well, now it's like, what is it now? probably 32, 33 now. Because I lost, you know, that big drop last week. Yeah. So I'm like, oh my goodness. And so, how much about 33.
33, and then you'll be done losing weight?
Oh, no. No, no. That's just to get me into Century Club because my highest weight was 307. Okay. And so now I'm at 239.8. Okay. Okay. And so I want to get down to like 207.
Okay. Okay.
And then I mean, I'm going to continue on. But gotcha. Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. Sounds to me like you're doing all the right things. If you're following, I'm serious, that hunger scale, if you're following the hunger scale, then you're doing exactly what you need to do. One other question. Are you planning exceptions at all?
I was going to say no, but that's not really true because I went out. When did I go out? Let me think. Because I went to Endless Shrimp. And like every time I go to Endless Shrimp, I'm like, okay, how can I level this up? Mm-hmm. And so, like, I've been to Endless Shrimp like 3 times since in the last like month. Like I've been 3 times ever since I've been a tribe member. So the first time, I blew through everything. I blew hunger scale. And so, like, every time I'm getting better. Like the last time I went, which was not yesterday, but I think a week ago. Mm-hmm. I ended up having a salad, one biscuit, which I've been normally having two, and I just got 2 things of shrimp. Now they were breaded, but like before I was having like, when I went for my birthday, which was like 5 or 6 days before that, I had like several, like 4 things of shrimp.
Okay.
And I was, okay. and I, yeah, you know, so I'm kind of leveling up. Mm-hmm. I'm taking my dining out, you know, using every time, how can I get better? How can I get better? How can I get better? I mean, that's always the question I'm asking myself. How can I make this better? How can I make this, you know, how can I still enjoy it? How can I still, you know, and trust me, I've made some boo-boos along the way, but I'm just trying to make sure that I'm leveling up. I just kind of get nervous because I don't want to be too restrictive.
Mm-hmm.
Where
you
I just
feel like you're restrictive, or do you feel good about what you're eating? That's the second time you've said that now.
I know. And the thing is, like, I love what I'm eating right now. Mm-hmm. But I have to make sure. Now, a couple weeks ago, I was feeling restrictive because I was kind of eating the same thing almost every day. I was like, ooh. I've got to change up my meals. I don't mind having the same thing several times a week, but I have to put like 36 hours between two of the events. Like that's kind of, I learned that because I was getting kind of crabby and I had an effort moment and I was like, this is why I had the effort moment. I mean, because I was frustrated with myself and I realized, hey, first of all, we don't have to believe everything we think. But second of all, you know, it was because I was being like eating the same thing, like lots of salads, several, like twice a day. I was like, I like salad, but
okay. If you don't think you are restricting, if you think you're eating exactly like you want to eat, then I don't think you're restricting either. Okay. If you're enjoying your food and I don't think it's a restriction problem. Especially if you're, you know, planning a night out now and then and you know, just being more cognizant of what you're eating. I think you're doing just fine. Sounds like you're doing great, actually.
Yeah.
I can't wait to meet you.
Yeah. I'm really excited. I can't wait for camp.
Yeah. And you're coming to 2 camps next year, huh?
Yes. 2 camps.
That's awesome. Listen, well, let me know if there's anything you need when you come to camp. Okay.
Okay. No. My family lives in Nashville, so and with me living in Seattle, I don't get to see them very much.
Yeah.
And so this is a great excuse to do both. So and so I'm really great. I was like, ooh, I'm signing up for these camps and I'm gonna tell my family I'm coming to camp, but I'm gonna come to but I'm also gonna come see them for a couple days. So it gives me
that's great
an excuse to do all that. So
very good. Well, I can't wait to see you make that Century Club.
Yes.
That's awesome.
I'm excited.
You're going to do it.
Yes, I am.
All right. Got anything else?
I thought I had another question and now I can't think of it, but I thought I had something else and I can't think of it. So it must not have been that important. So,
well, catch me next time then.
Yes, ma'am.
All right.
Well, thank you so very much for your help.
Take care. Turn the lights back out.
All right.
I'm not sending you a 20. Talk to you later.
All right.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
All right, Amy, you're up. And then Amanda.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
There you are.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm good. I've never done this before, so I'm a little nervous.
Okay. So what's up?
So I have a issue with binge eating.
Okay.
That I can't get under control. I posted in the Facebook group and was told to get on a coaching call. And
okay.
I'm on a few days and then I'm off a few, I'm on a few days and then like I'll gain weight and it spins, throws me into a spin. And then I'll, like I gain 0.2 pounds and I stopped the program for like 3 weeks and I got back on the scale and I gained like 5 pounds and I try to make a realistic plan today, but I've got like the Weight Watchers diet mentality that's saying, you know, you're not going to lose weight if you're eating this way. So it's just a struggle.
All right. So tell me about why you give up when you've gained 0.2 pounds.
Because I'm thinking, okay, I'm doing all this work. It's not working. So
it's not working. What's the point? It's not working.
What's the point?
Right? Have you seen that? Have you done that model?
Yes. Yeah. If I continue to bend. Yeah, I've done.
Well, let's think about that. If you have the thought, it's not working. What feeling does that create?
Like disappointment.
Mm-hmm. And when you're disappointed, what do?
Eat.
Yeah. Disappointed. This is such a very basic but very informative model. So eat, mm-hmm. give up,
mm-hmm.
or take a break. Anything else?
Not work out as hard.
Yeah. Okay. No movement. Guess what that results in?
Weight gain.
Well, it's not working. Right? I'm not working. Right?
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's just that simple. So your circumstance is weight loss. Mm-hmm. It's not working. I'm disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to eat. I'm going to give up.
Mm-hmm.
No movement.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not working.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
So that's a thought you have to watch for.
Okay.
Because guess what? It works if you work the program.
That is true.
Right? Have you had any success? And have you strung across, you know, a week or two of success and weight loss?
Like 2 pounds. But overall, I joined in June. I've gained more weight than I weighed in June. At one point, I went back to Weight Watchers, mm-hmm. lost that first week, 7.8 pounds the first week, and then put it back on again.
So why does Weight Watchers work for you and this doesn't?
I guess, I don't know. I guess the parameters of the strictness, this is like, I can eat whatever I want. And then...
Is that really what this is? I can eat whatever I want?
No, it's not. It's
write a food protocol that works for you. Feels good in your body. Like Amanda shouldn't have coffee in her food protocol, probably, right? And Megan probably shouldn't have those protein bars on her food protocol. So you write a food protocol that works for you.
I did that today.
And you did? Okay, good.
And I followed it.
Then your plan, your 24-hour plan is made up of foods that are in your food protocol, right?
Yeah, but they're not. Oh, the protocol. Yes, I made a protocol, but then I made a 24-hour plan today. That was just full of junk. So, of course, I followed it.
Was it all the stuff that was on your food protocol or was it just?
Just random stuff I've been eating lately.
Okay.
So I was like, day one, let me at least stick to a plan.
Okay. And that's exactly the right thing to do. Okay. Because if we back up the truck before the food protocol to the realistic plan,
mm-hmm.
then the point of the realistic plan is so that you write something that you can commit to and you find that success, that first success first. It may or may not help you lose weight,
mm-hmm.
but you followed a plan today and you mm-hmm. told me, I followed the plan today. I got it.
I followed it.
Right. And you feel good about, you feel good about following the plan. That's the point of the realistic plan.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Weight Watchers doesn't work for you. You know why? No. I know this.
Why?
Because you put the weight back on.
Oh, not all of it. I had lost 144 pounds. Okay. I put on 75 of it.
Okay.
I'm slowly getting it all
back. So let's not say that works because you you lost weight, but you gained a bunch of it back.
True. True.
Okay. So true. Going back to that, you might lose weight again, but it's obviously not sustainable.
No.
You gained a bunch of the weight back.
Mm-hmm.
Doing this, starting with the realistic plan and building a commitment to yourself and to your plan so that you're not eating off plan and eating behind your own back is where you definitely need to be. Okay.
True.
So tell me what was on your plan today.
Oh, it's downstairs. I put pumpkin spice latte,
mm-hmm.
put pumpkin scone. I put miniature Kit Kat bars.
Okay.
I put two like mini muffins. And mm-hmm. eggs, and I made a lentil soup. I ate that for lunch. Okay. A Kind bar.
Okay.
Yeah, I haven't had dinner yet. It's late, but I just got back from Pilates. Dinner.
By and large, did you eat following your hunger scale, or did you just snack when you wanted to, or what?
No, I followed. I pretty much. Yeah. Oh.
So you had this food, the stuff that you planned, that you mm-hmm. judged. By the way, you said it's just bad.
It's so right? bad.
But you use your hunger scale. So now we've got two wins.
Mm-hmm.
You followed your plan.
Mm-hmm.
You used your hunger scale today.
Yeah. Okay. Breakfast might not have been at a negative two, to be honest, but I was about to go work out. So.
Okay. Do you see how you have to look for the small wins
mm-hmm.
in order to keep moving forward?
True.
So today there was no binge.
No, I wanted to have something. I threw something in the trash because I kept thinking about it. So I just threw it out.
Really? Win number yeah. three.
I wanted the moon cheese that I didn't plan for. So I just threw it in the trash. I wanted veggie chips. I didn't eat mm-hmm. them. I fought that all day. So,
yeah. So yeah. You've had several wins today.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And you probably had those wins because you planned realistically. If you had planned lentil soup, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, would you have followed plan today?
No, because I have a problem on my days off. I'm off Tuesday, Wednesday, Saturday, Sunday, and I eat the house and then I eat the food out. It's really bad.
So today was Tuesday.
Yes.
Did you have a problem today?
No, because I put all that junk on there.
Which is exactly what we tell you to do. Because
yes.
you're building your commitment to your realistic plan.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
So don't tell yourself that Tuesday, Wednesday, what did you say, Friday, Saturday are always awful days because you didn't have an awful day today.
That is true.
Okay.
True.
You have to be really careful about what you're telling yourself. Because if you have identified as someone who binges Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, guess what you're going to do every Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday?
I'm going to eat the pantry.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So let's build tomorrow's plan.
Okay.
What's tomorrow going? Well, what are you going to have for dinner tonight? What's on
tonight
your plan?
It's chicken. It's a honey mustard chicken with some roasted green beans, potatoes, and carrots. And then what else is that? That's that and a little salad.
That sounds delicious.
Thank you.
Okay. So let's see. What's tomorrow going to look like? Breakfast.
Tomorrow's breakfast, 8 o'clock. Probably something small because I'm going to do two Pilates classes back to back and they start at 8. So maybe either oatmeal with blueberries or a Kind bar. and coffee.
Okay. Oatmeal or kind bar. Okay. We have a snack before lunch?
I'll probably get a latte after.
Okay.
Bodies. And okay. Then I will have probably no snack before lunch. And then for lunch, I will have probably a little salad. Mm-hmm. And I made Brussels sprouts with butternut squash and some chicken sausage. I'll probably have that with a little salad.
Okay.
And then I'll have a few of those Kit Kat bars.
Mm-hmm. What else for snack? Let's plan all the snacks.
Okay. Maybe nuts.
Okay.
Oh, what else? I'm going to put those veggie chips on there so okay. I don't fight them tomorrow. I don't want to throw them out too.
Okay. Anything else?
Put yogurt on there. I'm probably not going to eat all this stuff, but.
But if you do, you're still on plan.
True.
Anything else?
No.
Dinner?
Dinner will probably be probably the chicken with the potatoes again, what I'm having tonight.
Okay. Is this realistic for you? Is all this realistic? Feel doable? Feel like it's what you're gonna accomplish? It's not too pie in the sky?
No, I don't need another pumpkin scone. I'm good. Yeah, this is realistic.
You sure?
Yes.
Because we can put it on there.
No, I don't want it.
Okay.
Okay.
So here's tomorrow's plan.
Okay.
I put latte as the snack just because I had already written the yes. You can move it to breakfast. I don't care. It doesn't matter. Really okay. And truly, it doesn't matter. You could have dinner for lunch and lunch for dinner, and it would be fine too. You could move any of these snacks up or move the latte down, whatever suits you.
Okay.
So if you plan like this,
mm-hmm.
are you able to prevent a binge?
Depends, because I've been planning like that when I'm on program.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll go to Target and I'll end up getting Halloween candy.
Mm-hmm.
Today I went to Target and I fought it. I didn't even go near the candy. So.
And you know, when you have an urge like that, it does mm-hmm. feel like initially it feels like you're fighting it.
Yes.
Okay. It does. It feels hard. If you can work your way into seeing the urge and not being angry with it
mm-hmm.
and feeling the hard and not being angry or frustrated because you have it,
mm-hmm.
you're going to begin to move toward the urges not being hard, them just being there. But in the meantime, every now and then an urge is going to come across and you're going to binge. You uh-huh. just need to not beat yourself up about it.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You need to not be freaked out about it. You need to be okay, I just binged. Let's take a look at this and see if we can figure out what the trigger is. See how we can handle that trigger next time to start planning and strategizing and whatnot. You know, you've already told me big trigger for you is the day of the week, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, if you stop telling yourself I binge every Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday,
mm-hmm.
and you start saying, I'm gonna try this realistic planning thing and see how I do and work my way into figuring out how to prevent a binge on the days that I don't work. This is the work that Weight Watchers does not teach you.
True.
It doesn't teach you how to pull yourself out of a binge cycle. It doesn't applaud you when you throw away. What did you throw away today? Cheese?
Moon cheese.
I don't even know what moon cheese is.
It's really gross. My friend's like, it's the greatest thing. So I bought it, but I've been eating it. It's kind of gross, but you keep eating it. So I threw it out today. I'm like, I'm done with it.
So this is the kind of work and this is the kind of support that you get here that you don't get at Weight Watchers.
True.
And I will tell you too, if you go to, there's all kinds of binge coaching on the website. Have you found it yet? There's a whole category under video replays. called Binge, mm-hmm. where Corinne has coached that. When you binge, do you feel a lot of shame? Beat yourself up a lot?
Sometimes. Yeah.
Do you restrict after a binge?
At times, when I was doing Weight Watchers, I would restrict, and that's how I'd lose all the weight. Really, well, lose a big chunk of weight. Really
yeah, hard. And that, yeah, that's the binge restrict cycle doesn't work either.
No, it
doesn't. What you have to do is just really look at the binge with an open mind and say, what can I do differently next time? How can I handle this? And for you, realistic planning combined with the hunger scale is going to be your best bet for sure.
Okay. Thank you.
Does that help?
It does. I'm not really good at journaling. Like, I'll say, okay, I'm done being big. Let's get serious tomorrow. I don't know how to dig deep.
I don't know that you have to dig deep. Okay. I think what you need to do is look at why you're binging. Are you bored? Are you unhappy? What are you avoiding with your binge?
I wouldn't say unhappy, maybe bored.
Mm-hmm. So if you're bored, you have a thought that leads, that's a feeling. Mm-hmm. You have a thought that leads to boredom. If you had to guess, what are you thinking that creates boredom?
Just being alone a lot. So
I don't like being alone.
I want to say I enjoy being alone. So I don't understand.
So it's not, that's not the thought then. Why are you bored?
I don't know.
That's what
I don't have many friends out here. Actually, I don't have any friends out here. So maybe that I don't have all the social interaction that I might need.
Maybe. So maybe that's your next step too. You know, the realistic planning. You're going to Pilates. Probably making some friends there. Right?
I'm not that social when I don't know people. Once I get to know you, I'm really social. Mm-hmm. But I don't walk up to people and say, hi, I'm Amy. Nice to meet you. I can't do it.
So how do you meet people?
I guess people start talking to me.
So let me give you a clue. I'm not really social either. But if I was lonely, mm-hmm. I would find a way. And it was leading to binging. Mm-hmm. I'd find a way to put myself in a situation where I might find some friends.
Okay.
I wouldn't, you know, like you, I wouldn't be so happy about the binging, right? Mm-hmm. Because that's not real comfortable either.
No.
So, you know, I would just open your mind up to looking for ways to meet people, you know, whether it's through work or at Pilates or at the gym or at the library or wherever it is.
Okay.
What do you do for work?
I'm a CT tech.
Okay.
But I live in Maryland and mm-hmm. I work in Virginia. So.
Oh, there's a nice commute.
Yeah. It's a beautiful commute. Mm-hmm. So I've listened to all of the podcasts. So when you see it here, I'm like, I'm pretty sure I did.
Yeah. You probably
all
did.
I do.
Yep. How long is your commute?
It's about an hour one way. Mm-hmm.
My brother used to live in outside the Beltway and traveled to Langley up in McLean every day. And his commute was about an hour and a half each way.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I grew up in Tyson. So right next to McLean. Yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah. My grandparents lived in McLean. I went up there every year. To visit.
Oh, wow.
All my family is in Northern Virginia.
Oh, small world.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah.
So that's what I would do. There's a lot of people up there.
Yeah. I first started out at the gym and nobody would talk to me. It was so weird because I came from a gym where a lot of people knew me. And I was like, I could do that out here, but it's not the same.
Tell you what, Christina says she's in DC.
I see
a
this.
A lot of people in that area, a lot of tribe members in that area.
That is awesome. I had no idea.
I think you should totally find the tribe members that are up there. That's there's easy friends right there.
Yes. Right? Oh, yes. This is great.
Yeah. Okay. So you and Christina talk in the chat and see if you can get into the Facebook group and find some more folks that are from that area.
Okay. That's great.
And what I would do, if you make a post, I would tag Mary Jo, because I bet Mary Jo can call some people off the top of her head.
Okay.
Or not great. Call, but like tag some people off the top of her head. And there you go, friends, right?
Oh, this is great.
Yay. All right. You stay on that plan and work that hunger scale and get some friends.
Okay.
You'll be okay.
Thank you so much, Kathy.
All right.
Nice.
See ya.
Have a good night.
Bye.
Bye.
Amanda, then Cheryl. If we go quick, we'll have time for Christina too. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
This is my first time.
Welcome.
Doing this. And I have to say, like, every call, I'm getting something out of it. Like, all awesome. The little pieces to the puzzle are awesome. Fitting.
Good deal.
But I joined in September and I was a groupie. I think I started in July. And so I've lost 36 pounds.
Great.
So I am pleased and I'm feeling somewhat confident, but I feel like I'm at that point where I don't know. I don't want to use the word self-sabotage because I know you're going to say I don't use those words. So I'm scared to say words that I'm going to say.
Y'all know me. Y'all know me too well.
but a couple things. I'm watching my dad, and the first 30-day tracker I did, I did like percentages. So I stayed on the 24-hour plan, but my snacking was off. I wasn't following my hunger scale when I did snacks.
Okay.
And, or I changed snacks or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so this month I'm like, okay, it's going to be all or nothing.
Okay.
And the first week I'm like, oh my God, I only stayed on my plan like one day. Okay. And I'm like, well, this could be a problem. So this week I'm like, okay, I'm going to stay on the plan, but I've only stayed on the plan 2 days.
Okay.
My sleep has never been consistent. So I'm thinking, okay, that could be some of it. I wrote down it's the sleep and the hunger scale and staying on the 24-hour plan.
Those yeah. Why aren't you staying on plan?
You know,
plan's not realistic.
It's the snacking portion.
Okay.
My plans are realistic and what I'm eating is realistic, but instead of like one lemon pudding, I'll have two.
Why?
Cause I want it and I just do like F it.
Mm.
So Corinne was talking about the grab assing and then what's the other kind of eating? The F it eating, right? Wasn't that what she was saying? Mm-hmm. So it's kind of where I'm at. Like, I'm like, well, you're doing good. You don't want to live like this forever. Mm-hmm. You could have another pudding or it's not high calorie. What does it matter? Or it's that kind of thing. And then I had my first big binge since I've been on plan 2 days ago. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, what am I doing or why am I doing this? And I don't think I have the right compelling reason or a strong enough or because in those moments, I really don't care or I tell myself I don't care, but I obviously do care because I'm working really hard at this.
Yeah. You're just, what you're doing is you're giving into your justifications. Did you listen to that module in No BS?
Yeah.
I basically did. I justifications are excuses. You're letting your excuses talk you into overeating and eating right. on plan.
Okay? Right.
Instead of saying, no, that's just an excuse. That's what I hear. I hear you, brain. I hear you in there. That's not true. One's all that's on the plan. You're not telling yourself no, basically.
Yeah, I've been working on my urges. Like, I feel like when I go into stores, and even the other day, I was going to go into the store. I knew the damn Halloween candy was there. And I said, okay, I'm going to video a message to myself. I'm feeling like I'm going to have urge. I talked to myself. Mm-hmm. And not today, I can have another day. And it worked. And I came back out and did another video to myself. Like, yeah, you did it. Mm-hmm. But then that night was when I had my binge. So it's like, maybe I white knuckled.
Why did you have the binge?
So a couple things, I've really kept my house like minimal temptations. Before joining PNP, my husband's trying to lose weight too. The kids are out of the house. So we had baked a bunch of baked goods for the guys. We have a dairy farm, we feed them. And so they were sitting there. I like to think they were talking to me, but I know they weren't.
You were just tempted by them.
I was just tempted and it was at the end of the day. And you know, after this last caller you just talked to, I'm thinking, well, maybe I am bored. Like, even though it was the end of the day, I'm not as fulfilled, or there's something there, because it happens too much at night. My accountability group calls it sneaky eating. Mm-hmm. So I had that in common with a caller earlier. So I don't know. I've been doing the recovery worksheets and trying to do like, okay, write down my thoughts. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I've tuned into exactly what it is yet.
Yeah, that's why you keep doing them when you have an overeat at night. So are you, primarily, do you overeat the same time each night?
That is, that's the tough time after everybody's gone to bed. And when the kids were younger, like, that was my alone time. It was like something about, I'm alone, I can do this, nobody's going to judge me.
Yeah, so mm-hmm. it's a habit. Mm-hmm. It's just your habit. And mm-hmm. you have a well-worn path in your brain that mm-hmm. that says, this is what we need to do, right? Because the habit is good and strong. So I don't think it's related to the Halloween candy.
Okay.
If this is something that you do each night, I think the Halloween candy is a victory.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I think if this is what you do each night, I think you need to plan for it and plan realistically.
Okay.
I think you need to be, and here's why. The realistic plan, you know, you look at it just like Amy looked at it and said, I'm not going to lose weight eating Kit Kats, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But what happens is when you put them on the plan ahead of time, then you get to evaluate when it's time to eat them, whether or not you want them. You're not just eating them automatically. If you're going to eat them, if you're pretty much going to eat them anyway, you put them on the plan so that you have a committable plan for yourself.
Right.
Okay. So that's what you need to do. You need to go ahead and plan your nighttime eating. And then decide when it comes to nighttime, do I want to just go to bed or do I really want to eat this stuff?
Okay.
You see what I'm saying? Because that's really what happens.
Because I'm doing really great on the plan, like the daytime plan. Mm-hmm. It's just at night. So you're saying, like, even say, okay, 8:30, you're going to plan a snack and you're going to eat it, or decide mm-hmm. in that moment not to eat it.
Yeah, basically.
Okay.
Just like if you were to plan, let's say you decided you wanted to plan a fruit cup for 2 o'clock mm-hmm. in the afternoon. 2 o'clock mm-hmm. in the afternoon comes around, you're like, I don't think I really need that. I'm good. You move on to the next, you know, whatever it is you're doing that day. So 8 o'clock comes along, you've got this snack planned. Instead of your primal brain, this party in the back part of your brain going, 8 o'clock, time to eat. Doesn't matter what's going on, we got to eat. You've already decided what you're going to eat at 8 o'clock. So then mm-hmm. the decision-making part of the brain is in control. It's not the primal brain. This front part of your brain is like, well, you know, it's time to eat. I think, you know, it's on the plan. We can have some. Yeah. Rather than that primal brain going, habit, 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 we have to eat. It doesn't matter if it's on the plan or not. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's what I wanted was some kind of a tip to try mm-hmm. To kind of break this cycle, because I felt the best with this than I've ever have. I think I've tried every diet out there, and the mental stuff is really connecting to me. Mm-hmm. And so I kept trying to reach for something deeper, and maybe they're, you know, like I said, maybe I'm not quite so fulfilled in my day or whatever, but I'm just not coming up with those deep thoughts. When I try to do my thought download on that, it's just not coming. And my recovery worksheets, I just keep coming. I just wanted it. Like, you know what I mean? That seems to be what I keep coming out of it.
That could be all it is, honestly.
Yeah.
That could just be all it is. So in the moment that you just want it, if you've planned it, you can decide if you really want it. And here's the other part of it. Let's say you eat it for 2 weeks. You eat that for mm-hmm. 2 weeks, a month or whatever, and you're not losing any weight. Mm-hmm. It's when you pull your data back out and you say, all right, what edges do I want to trim here to see if I can move the thing on the scale? And maybe you cut that snack in half or take it out 2 or 3 days a week or something like that. That's when you figure out whether or not you need to trim up your plans in order to move to the next step in your weight loss.
Do you consider this different than like the urges? Because the urge work that I've learned has really helped, for this time of day. So yeah. Would you consider this like a binge, or is this an urge, or what is this? Or maybe it doesn't
need a title, urge to eat. I don't know that it needs a classification. Okay. I can't tell you if it's a binge or not. If it's a conscious eat, if it's a decision to eat, it's probably not a binge. It's probably just a habit, but it doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things. What matters is that you recognize that you have that urge, that you plan for it, and then you decide whether or not you want to eat it.
Right. Right.
Make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. My other quick question is, Corinne had mentioned at some point when openings would be for private coaching. Mm-hmm. When would that be, and how do we access that?
There are openings right now for private coaching. There are slots available. You go to the website to get coached, I believe.
Okay.
Under there, it's one-on-one coaching. And you just sign up there.
Okay. I mean,
it's pretty easy.
Yeah.
If you wanted to do more work on your own, I would definitely, next week is realistic planning week. I definitely dive full into realistic planning week for you. You can also work on the bonus course. There's a deep dive into urges and buffering in the bonus courses.
Okay.
In that workbook, in the urges and buffering workbook, is a 5-step process to answering urges.
Okay.
I'd look for that if I were you.
Yeah. I had wanted to do the April camp, and I wasn't able to do that. So I'm thinking, well, you know, maybe one-on-one coaching is a good way to just keep this really being cemented.
Yeah.
So
it's a great idea.
But I appreciate your help tonight. Thank you.
You're very welcome. See you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Cheryl, see what you got. Hi.
Hello.
Hey, I can hear you and see you and everything.
You can?
Yep. Okay. What's up?
I can see you as well.
Good.
Well, I'm keeping my word. I told you at camp that I would eventually show up, so here I am.
I'm proud of you.
And it wasn't at all. Thank you. It wasn't at all planned or anything. My husband's not home tonight. There are no children in the house anymore, so I finished my dinner. And I only ate half of it because that was the challenge today. Mm-hmm. And my accountability partner and I are participating.
Good.
And then I came into my office, which is what I do after dinner, to assess. And I realized that I had added quite a few, kind of to go with the last caller, I've added quite a few bites, you know, grab asses. I don't know. There's so many words for it now. I don't even know what it is. Is it a fuck it? Is it a foggy? Am I picking? You know, urges. I mean, it's just like all the things. But here's the thing. I need you to steer me in the right direction. I am a pound away from my goal.
Okay.
And I have been a pound away from my goal for quite some time. I have never been coached, like I told you, at camp, because this is a lifelong battle for me, you know, with 20 to 25 pounds over and over again for my whole adult life. And this time it's different, and I know that. To lose the 17 pounds I have lost this time, it's taken me 7 months, and I am totally fine with that because the mental weight, like everybody says, is way more than that. But I know that I'm sabotaging myself. I know, like, the picking, I got over that. I did that in the beginning. I had to level up. You know, I had to keep leveling up, and now everything is kind of, not everything, but things are starting to slide back in, and I haven't hit goal. And I'm like, what am I doing? I'm aware I'm doing it. I know mm-hmm. I'm doing it. Mm-hmm. But I'm not quite sure why I'm doing it. So I'm trying.
Well, if you had to guess, why are you picking?
I had to guess. Well, because I want it, but.
Okay. Feeling a little complacent?
I don't know. I wouldn't have ever said that.
Okay. So it's not that then?
What do you mean by that?
What do I mean by complacent?
Yeah.
Well, I've lost my weight. I can go back to eating normally.
But I haven't.
I'm only 1 pound away. I can go back to eating normally.
Yeah.
Like that?
Which may have been very close to how I would end every other diet that I've ever been on. And so I know that that will not be the situation okay. this time, because I have no intention of gaining this weight okay. back ever.
Okay.
And I have enjoyed every minute of this process.
Yet you're giving into these little urges for the little picks now.
And I know I'm doing it.
So why are you doing that?
I go to, am I afraid to succeed?
No.
I'm not? That,
no.
Well, I even did it. I keep looking down because I have my planner right in front of me. Mm-hmm. But I even did a model on my mm-hmm. goal weight today, because I thought maybe I'm just happy where I am, because okay. I feel amazing mm-hmm. and love my clothes and how they look mm-hmm. and all that stuff. But it's just that, you know, I haven't hit the mark that I said I was going to hit. And that's got something in my brain.
But feeling good and looking amazing and loving your clothes doesn't have anything to do why you're grab-assing.
Tell me why I'm grab-assing.
Because you just want it, and because you're not telling yourself this is not how we live anymore. This is not what we do anymore. Because you said you eliminated it for a while, right?
Yeah.
And now it's back.
Yes.
And you're letting it stay back.
Yes.
Why?
I'm not allowed to say that.
Honestly, it sounds like you're so close to goal. I'm happy with the way I am. I look good. You're taking your foot off the gas. That's what it just sounds like.
Yeah.
You're not being as resolved or resilient because you've lost the weight. I'm good where I am. I don't have to work as hard.
But why do I think I'm good where I am if I'm not where I set myself up?
Yeah, well, I can't answer that. It could be, you know, because you have a thought that it's just a pound, so it must be fine. Could be, you know, there could be a number of reasons. There's a thought there that, you know, is disconnecting those two for you, though. And it might, may or may not be related to the fact that you're grab-assing. I suspect there's a justified thought in there, because you're so close to goal, that allows you to grab ass. And it's something
like it's just like, it's not going to matter. I mean, cause I don't binge. It's like, I'm not eating mass quantities of food. Right. I grabbed a couple of little slices of salami when I started cutting vegetables mm-hmm. for dinner. Yeah. All right.
That, and all that adds up.
Yeah, no, right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Which is why I haven't mm-hmm. lost a pound. Mm-hmm. Right.
So when you grab the salami, mm-hmm. you know, that's the action line of the model. What were you feeling and thinking?
I was actually hungry because I waited mm-hmm. a little too long to go in and start making dinner.
Is that part of dinner?
Was it part of dinner? No.
Why didn't you wait for dinner?
Because I still needed to cook it. mm-hmm.
But you didn't have a snack planned?
No.
Is there a problem with being hungry?
I will not get pregnant. I just be hungry while I cook. I know that's fine. And I'm
hungry every night I cook dinner, because I don't cook dinner until I get hungry, because I'm not going to eat until I'm at -2.
I will say that has been one of my battles in my 7 months. There's been a couple, one being chocolate, the other one being always wanting to snack, which was a habit. Always wanting to snack when I start to prep dinner. Mm-hmm. Not always am I hungry. It's just a habit. Like, grab a couple wheat thins or pretzels and put them down while you start chopping vegetables, you know, like that's just always been my MO. Mm-hmm. So the salami today probably followed suit with the old habits coming back.
Or the old habits just, or the old suggestions just being answered. Because I bet the habit, see, a habit doesn't just go away.
Right.
It kind of eases out. It might stick around and it might not. You still have the suggestions. Sometimes you're strong enough to say, no, not going to eat because it's not dinner time yet. Or you just set the suggestion. The urge, I call it a suggestion. I just like that word better. The urge, you know, doesn't land. Tonight it landed and you acted on it.
A lot of nights it's landed and you acted on it. Yeah.
And that's what you, that's when you do your recovery worksheet and figure out what that core thought is. I've offered you a few. It might be, you kind of went, meh, but you got to get back to doing those recovery worksheets so you can figure out what that thought is so that you can listen for it. And then once you hear it, you can say, wait a minute, that's the one that leads me to eat. And it could be, I just want it. It could be, I'm so close to goal, I can do this again. It could be, oh, it's only a little bit of salami. It could be anything. But you have to find it by doing those recovery worksheets so that you can watch for it, so you can plan for it and figure out how you're going to handle it. Because this is how you answer an urge with a no, because you have a response ready for it.
I mean, I'll admit, I do not do a recovery worksheet every single time this happens. I do have a whole stack of recovery worksheets that I have done. I have data up the yin yang and anything. But do I go back and like see if there's a pattern in my, because I've never gone back and reread my recovery worksheets.
Yeah.
So maybe go back and reread them and see if I see a pattern.
Yep. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yep. That's why you create them. That's why you keep any data so you can look for a pattern. Who was it that was telling me earlier, I have all my data, but I'm only e-following my plan once a week. Well, that's really good data. That just means the plans aren't realistic or something's going on that we need to look at and, you know, and why you're not sticking to plan. Same thing with the recovery worksheet. You go back and you look at it to see, is there a certain time of day this always happens? Is there a certain thought? What's triggered you? Is it a work day? Is it a non-work day? That's how you kind of zone in on what's going on when you're off plan.
Yeah. So you think complacency?
I don't know. I see that a lot when it comes to people who are approaching goal. They kind of let their foot off the gas.
Okay.
It could be something else though. Could just be grab-assing. Could just be, I just want it. And you're not telling yourself.
But I've used that as the excuse all along, ever since the Urges course, you know, which was my favorite course so far.
A good one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cause that one just, that was me. That was, she was talking to me the entire time. But I guess what I got from that was, okay, there's not this big deep seated problem that I can't figure out. You know, my childhood was fine, you know, all that stuff. I just want it. Like when she said that it's okay for that to be the answer, I'm like, well, there you go.
Yeah. That's it.
Okay. So I just have to be bigger than the, I just want it.
Yes. What do you really want? That's what you should ask yourself. Is that what I really want?
No. I want to hit goal and lose 20 pounds and join Queen's Club and all that to say, yay, I did it.
I used to find myself in the pantry sometimes. And sometimes I still do. And I'll ask myself, what am I really hungry for? And sometimes just being ready with that kind of response to an urge. What do I really want? Is this what I really want? Or, you know, having that response ready can really put the brakes on an overeat or an off-plan eat.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Pretty painless, right?
Oh. It was. It was fun. It's always good to see you, Kathy.
It's good to see you too. Take care.
See you later.
Bye. Bye. All right, Christina, let's do you real quick. You've been waiting a long time, girl. Hi.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
I I will be quick. I promise.
Okay.
I am struggling a little bit because so I've lost 57 pounds so far. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited about that. But I usually get to around 5 pounds of this number, mm-hmm. and then I start going back up because habit that I've been trying really hard to overcome mm-hmm. just comes back, and then I just start listening to it.
Mm-hmm.
So I am trying to figure out how, because I really want to keep going mm-hmm. and really want to lose the rest of my weight, but I'm trying to figure out how I can do that without. Like trying to get these habits to simmer down a little bit so that I can keep going.
So why do you think it happens every so often instead of all the time?
The habit or?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you lose weight and you get down to a certain point and you start answering the habit again.
Yeah.
Why aren't you, what's keeping you from answering it until you get to that point? Do you understand my question?
Well, like what makes me at this point start going back up?
Yeah. What keeps you on the way down?
I think up until this point, I'm like, oh, I can get back down to that number at least. I can do that.
Yeah, but
and then
how?
I get down. Well, I am doing following my hunger scale and mm-hmm. Planning out what I'm going to eat and actually mm-hmm. assessing and mm-hmm. water and sleep and then I just stop doing that.
Why?
I think, I don't know, things just come up and it just doesn't become as much of a priority anymore. Like I just want to focus, like I get to a point where I'm like, okay, I'm doing this, but now I want to focus on other things.
What comes up that's more important?
Recently, work. Stuff
has work is more been, important than making a plan and following your hunger scale?
I think work in the moment becomes more important when I'm when I'm like, oh, I could make a plan real quick, or I could go and jump on this call, or I could go work for 5 minutes instead. So I'm just like,
so that's the choice that you're making. That's the choice that you're making. And that's why, because you're not prioritizing your weight loss above anything else. And prioritizing your weight loss is prioritizing yourself above anything else, whether it's work or kids or spouse or whatever it is in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it's not just the habit. It's that you get to where you decide there's something else that's more important than taking care of you.
Okay. So how do I get back to...
You pull the BS light on the thought that says, oh, you know what? We'll do the plan later. You say, no, we're doing the plan right now. You have to be firm with yourself.
Okay.
Tell yourself every day you do plan or you're journaling or whatever it is at a certain time, and it doesn't matter what else is going on.
Okay.
You know, I don't go to work. I don't do this until I do my plan. I don't do this until this happens. For me, I journal every day when my husband's in the shower. He takes a shower every day.
Mm-hmm.
I journal when he's in the shower because he's not sitting there going, Kathy, what are you doing? Okay. Right? Seriously.
Right.
Are you going to be there very long? Because, you know, if he's talking to me, it's kind of hard to thought download. Right?
Right.
So I have that trigger point that I take care of myself. I do my plan. I do my journaling when he's in the shower. That's what you need every single day. Create that habit that keeps your personal needs
mm-hmm.
your top priority, because they should be. Do you agree with that?
Logically, yes, I do.
So illogically, why don't you?
I just feel like in the moment other things come up that...
What's more important?
It just depends on whatever's going on in the moment. I'm just like, oh, I need to respond to this real quick. And mm-hmm. then it just becomes something that falls down the priority list.
Yeah.
The course
because
of the day.
You're trying to make somebody else happy.
Instead of making me happy. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's called people pleasing.
Yeah. I'm a people pleaser, but I'm going to stop doing that. So, okay.
If you want to bust through this number, you have to stop doing that. You have to, whatever this number, this magic number is that mm-hmm. that you keep stalling at.
Yeah.
You have to prioritize yourself. You have to make yourself the number one in your life all the time. At least enough time to do your plan.
Right.
It only takes 5 minutes. If it takes that long.
Right.
Right?
Right. Okay. So I will go and make a plan and I will doing this. So, okay. Well, that was quick, right?
So. Did that help? Did that help?
Yes. I appreciate it.
All right. Okay. Bye. I'll see you. All right. Let's see what this Q&A says. Do I have to put an amount of a particular food, like cookie, for example, if I don't know how much I'm going to want? I find that right now I might put 2 or 3 cookies, but then I always want more than what I put. Is it better to leave the amounts out? When it comes to cookies, I would plan the number and I would tell myself, I know you want more, but we plan 2 or 3 or whatever the number is. If it's green beans, I wouldn't worry about planning an amount. The difference is that it's super easy to overeat the cookies when you don't give yourself an amount. You have to give yourself that constraint to make sure that you are taking good care of your plan. So I hope that makes sense. As we are now looking for hunger, so why put a snack in? Just confused when, if I'm not hungry at lunch, should I wait? And once I get hungry, eat a snack or a late lunch? I'm not sure I completely understand. So here's what I do when it comes to snacking. Sometimes, most days I plan one. Most days I don't eat it. So what I do is I usually look at my day. You know, I eat lunch about the same time, 12 or 1 o'clock most days, because that's when I get hungry. I either have early dinners or I have late dinners. So like tonight, I needed to have early dinner or I knew I wasn't going to eat until 9 o'clock, and I don't like to eat right before bedtime. So I did not plan a snack for today. If I know that it's going to be 7 or 8 o'clock before I have dinner, I might plan a small snack, just something that doesn't take me to +2, takes me back to maybe a 0 or even a -1. So that I am at -2 when dinner time comes along. That's how I use a snack. I hope that answers your question. But that's usually what I do. I don't plan one every day. But I plan one a lot. I just don't eat them very often anymore. I only eat them if I find that dinner is going to be super late. Having brain issue with following hunger scale and my half marathon training when I have longer miles on the schedule. 4 miles or less in the morning I can do before breakfast okay. Over 4 miles, training run has not gone well fasted, not hungry in the morning, and don't normally want to eat. I tried banana and peanut butter or peanut butter sandwich and it went better. I plan my run fuel on 24-hour plan. Thoughts on planning for longer training runs and hunger scale or lack thereof. Yeah, this is a little bit different. I used to, when I was training for my half marathons, I used to have just a little bit of food before my runs. I think I used to eat like a half an English muffin and half a toasted English muffin just to have, since I was doing a long run, just to have the fuel in my body. After I ran, I was almost never hungry. So some people, Corinne would talk about how she, if she ate after a run, she would get sick. So you just have to really listen to your body when it comes to that. Sometimes the need for fuel is different than a hunger signal. And if you have a running coach, Roz, I think I would talk to them about this to make sure you are fueling properly. I was the same as you. I could do 4 or 5, maybe 6 miles fasted and be fine. But past that, I could tell that my body needed fuel because I would lose energy and glycogen and whatnot. So, she sent me here. Well, I've answered you the best I can there. I think it's going to be a situation where you need to just pay attention to your body. If you're finding that eating a little bit beforehand on these long runs is what you need, then I would absolutely do that then. I'm not much of a snacker, so I don't put them on my 24-hour plan. Occasionally, I do feel hungry between meals, though, so I will eat a snack that is on my food protocol, then add it to my planner to what I actually ate. Is this something that I would do a recovery worksheet for? It's not an overeat. I just don't add snacks when I'm planning because eating in between meals happens so rarely. So, Lori, technically, it's an off-plan eat. I would tell you if it's not a habit, if it's something that happens very, very occasionally and you are doing it with regard to your hunger, you're probably okay. But if it is a habit and you are not, you're not planning a snack, but you're eating it more often than not, then I'd either put it on the plan or I'd do a recovery worksheet. Even in our accountability group, we also had to half a dinner challenge. Eating half plate dinner made me confused. Aren't we supposed to eat -2 to +2? It has nothing to do with our plate. Yes, you're exactly right. Or challenges like that, good at keeping us motivated. So here's the point of that challenge. Many people think a full plate of food is their +2. If you eat half, you are giving your brain something to think about as to whether or not you're really overeating. Is +2 half that plate? And you're also showing yourself that not getting to +2 is not the end of the world. So it's just kind of a little exercise to learn more about the plus part of the scale, and learn more about how your body reacts to it and how your brain reacts to it. So it's just a learning tool, like an experiment to see what you might learn about. So each of the hunger scale challenges this week is the same. It's helping you learn more about your hunger scale. So like yesterday, when we told you all not to eat until 10 a.m., some people don't get to -2 by 10 a.m. Some people were at -4 at 10 a.m., but what they realized was -4 was still okay. They could still eat a normal breakfast and be okay. So, yes, the goal is to eat -2 to +2, but also what we're trying to teach you is that you can leave a little bit of food on your plate and be okay. You can wait a little bit longer and be okay. Hunger's not an emergency. Maybe you might be overeating. There's all kinds of little nuances to this that we might be showing you through the hunger scale challenges. So I hope that helps you. All right, that's it, everybody. I hope you have a great evening. This week, the team is traveling. We are going to a conference out in San Diego together. So Corinne will be live on her public page tomorrow morning. Wednesday live on the public page. Let's see, hang on just a second. Let me get my calendar up. And then I'm pretty sure most everything else is canceled this week. So there's no Q&A on the 17th. No office hours on the 19th. The next time you will see Corinne will be Monday the 21st. And it will be her realistic planning Zoom where she's coaching people on aspects of the realistic plan. There were a couple of you on the call tonight that should really listen up for that. I think you'll get a lot out of it. Then we're back to regular programming next week. Actually, next Tuesday, Betsy will be here because I will be on vacation. And then, the rest of the week is as planned. But this week we'll be at a conference getting our learn on so that we can, bring all good things back to you guys. So have a great evening and I will see you soon. Bye.